is a continuation
somehow in this message, because if you have your bulletin, I'm going to make a confession. Somehow our lines got crossed, and she put 2 Timothy 1 instead of 1 Timothy 2 in your bulletin. So you're going to have to look on the overhead or in your own scripture. But let me remind you real quick what Timothy is. Timothy is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to his protege, to his apprentice, to his disciple, Timothy. Timothy had met Jesus through Paul and followed Paul around on a lot of his missionary journeys, just like an apprentice would. If you're going to apprentice a blacksmith, what you do is you will follow that blacksmith around. Be with that blacksmith as he works the metal and learns from example. And so that's what Timothy did, to where eventually Paul released Timothy, released him to go and do just like Paul. And this letter of Timothy and the second letter of Timothy are encouragements, are reminders to Timothy from Paul about what it was like to follow him. Remember my leadership, Paul would say. Remember what I did. Remember the message that you had. Here's how you want to structure yourself. Here's how I did it. Just a quick reminder of what Timothy saw as he apprenticed Paul. And if you remember, too, I just want to remind us, we said this last week, that when we think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, the better word in our modern language than disciple really is apprentice. We follow and spend time with Jesus. We follow and learn from others, a mentor. And we seek to be just like Jesus as he releases us into the world. So apprentice is a good word there. Listen to this letter from Paul to his apprentice Timothy. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair, or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Don't get angry at me yet. Women should learn quietly and submissively. And do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. But women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. And put you guys to the test. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You guys were not paying attention. I heard women speaking. Shh. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding because I want to survive until that breakfast. No, but I share this passage with you because we've spent our summer asking questions, and many of you submitted some questions you have about Jesus, about God, about the church, and even about how I will lead, given all of those things. And this question that we're going to look at today is an actual question that came in. I think it was a staged question. I was set up, though, because how can she be a pastor actually came from a retired female pastor. So I think I've been set up. But it's a fair question. It's a fair question. Because we have to remember where we've been and what it means to follow Jesus and how we know how to follow Jesus. You remember we've talked about this apprentice, these disciples. We are in a long line of apprentices and disciples, following the person in front of them who followed the person in front of them, who followed the person in front of them who followed Jesus. And that message was carried down. We call that the church. And this message that we have, these words that we have, are important words, reminders to us of what it means to follow Jesus, to follow the way, all the way. That's what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks as we answer this question. I don't decide the way. I don't determine the way. I decide if I will follow the way, Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember the passage we read right before this, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. There is one God, there is one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't decide the way. I determine if I will follow the way, all the way. And the other thing we said is, if my way doesn't match the way, Jesus, I'm going the wrong way. So if my way, what I decide, what I want, what I believe is right, and how I'm going to act is not in accordance, does not match up with Jesus, the way, and what we know of Jesus, the way, as it's been passed down through history, if at any point there's a difference, it's my problem. I'm wrong. So, how do we know what the way is like? Yes, we follow apprentice after apprentice after apprentice until it's come to us, and we're called to apprentice others in Jesus, to guide others, to be mentors in that regard. But what we've had passed down through the ages is Scripture. Is Scripture. We call it the Word of God for the people of God. We say, thanks be to God. It's these words, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we said we believe it. If you remember when we asked the question, is how can we trust the Bible? We believe Scripture. We believe it's inspired because Jesus did. We use the Old Testament. Jesus trusted that the Old Testament was the Word of God. We don't just base our evidence. We don't base our faith on fact alone. We can look and see why it's reasonable to believe it. But ultimately, we believe it, we trust in it, because Jesus did. And we're Jesus followers. And so we want to do whatever Jesus did. So we have this history passed down to us, these words of encouragement, these reminders. And what Scripture does is it clarifies for us how we follow Jesus. Scripture clarifies the way. It reminds us who Jesus is, who God is, how God has loved us and revealed truth to us from beginning until end. In fact, we have a revelation. It's even titled that. At the end of the book, that's a reminder of what it will be like. Do we always understand it? No, but we know the big thing. Jesus wins in the end. That's the revelation. We can trust in that. And so Scripture, what it does for us is it clarifies how we follow the way, all the way. It lets me know when I'm looking at my way versus the way, it gives me clarity on where I'm right and where I'm wrong. Where you're right, where you're wrong. So that we can have an honest conversation about what it really means to follow Jesus. In fact, you know, we're a Methodist church. John Wesley was really the founder of this Methodist movement. For him, he was a man well-read, incredibly well-read, encouraged all of his pastors to be well-read, yet he called himself a man of one book. He called himself a man of one book. And what he encouraged and what he reminded everybody is that ultimately, Scripture clarifies how we follow the way all the way. Scripture, the Word of God, is really the final authority on all matters of faith. It is fully reliable on all matters of faith. Faith being my way compared to the way. And so here we go. What do we do with this? Women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. Well, I think you guys all know the answer at the end of this. I'm a Methodist pastor. I trust in our theology. I trust in our practice. We have women who have been ordained. Now, I had no idea she was coming, but we have a woman who has been ordained. Just so you know, I'm a little nervous. That's my boss. I got to be really careful how I preach this message. But that's the reality, is we're part of a church family that ordains women, allows them to ascend to the highest of authority within our church structure. How can we be followers of the way, trusters in Scripture, and yet say, thanks be to God? And that's what I want to help you with this morning. And I want to start out by saying, good and faithful followers of Jesus do disagree on this topic. And my encouragement to you is that if you believe you are called to be ordained in a leadership in church, and you're a female, don't be Baptist. Don't be Catholic. I love my Catholic and Baptist brothers and sisters, some of my Pentecostal brothers and sisters. We disagree on this. And one of the things you got to know, and I got to know, is the context we're called into. And you, being Methodist right now, we're called into this context, feel free. But here's how we arrive at this point. What we say, what John Wesley, what history, the church has said, how even Paul practiced interpreting Scripture is this. We let Scripture interpret Scripture and context inform our content. You might want to look up there so you can really get that, because, yeah, it gets a little confusing. We let Scripture interpret Scripture and context inform our content. If I'm going to know what this truly says, what the content is, I look at this and I go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mary, weren't they pretty active followers of Jesus? Wait, I go back into the Old Testament and I read a whole book called Ruth. I read about Esther. You can go into Judges. You can read about a judge named Deborah. A judge, the most powerful person in all of Israel in the time of Judges, was a woman. So wait a minute. I'm getting confused. Because what we do is we don't want to just take this passage out of its context, out of its pages, and plant it on the wall and say, this is how it is. I mean, you can also read in 1 Corinthians 15, it says the same thing about how women are to be in the church. And so what we do anytime we understand, we read Scripture, is we read it and we go, okay, now how does that fit in to all of it? Because my understanding, I won't know the content until I understand how Scripture speaks on a subject. You know, John Wesley is credited for using this thing that we call later the quadrilateral. What John Wesley really did for us is a way of understanding Scripture that says, okay, Scripture is our sole authority, but I understand I bring tradition. That's the history of the apprentices, the church. How, if I have a brand new understanding of Scripture that no one has ever had before, chances are I'm wrong. 2,000 years of people understanding Scripture, chances are if I have this brand new understanding that in 2,000 years nobody's had, not that I am wrong, but chances are really good I am wrong. So I want to check tradition. What have people said throughout history? I want to bring my reason. I want to bring my reason into it. God has given us this ability to think rationally. And then I want to bring my experience. And so I read this passage. I bring those to bear. And I look at all of Scripture. And then I also recognize that Paul was writing to Timothy in a very interesting context, in the city where Timothy was planting his church, in the time in our human history when Timothy was planting his church. men were in charge. Let's just be honest. To a certain degree, women could rise, but there was a very, 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 not just glass ceiling, concrete ceiling. And it would take a miracle to kind of punch through that. And so what Paul said is, okay, Timothy, here's what I do. Here's how I practice my leadership. I have women. By the way, you can look through Acts. You can look through some of Paul's other writings. He had women in very high leadership. One of them, Priscilla, he called an outstanding apostle. There's not many people that are called outstanding apostles in all of Scripture. Juno, Phoebe, these were incredible leaders in the early church, all female, all commended for their leadership in the church. But Paul was encouraging Timothy to hold back on the women because, wait for it, his context, the culture that he was planting a church in, would not have accepted it. And so we always push the envelope. Jesus always pushes the envelope. But Paul said, essentially, hey, ladies, Timothy, encourage your ladies. You have this new freedom in Christ. You can read in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. We are all one in Christ. We all have equal access to Jesus. You being a slave does not hinder you from fully knowing and living Jesus just as a free person. You being a Greek doesn't hinder you in any way from fully receiving Jesus. You being a woman, lesser in our culture. That's Paul, not now. Says it doesn't hinder you in any way. We are all one in Christ. But pay attention to your context. Pay attention to your context. And then you'll understand the content. Just like I would encourage you, if you feel called into high-ranking leadership within the church, don't be Catholic if you're a woman. Don't be Baptist. Again, I love them. We disagree on this. Know your context. And so we let Scripture interpret Scripture, and context inform our content. And what we know from reading this, what we as a church have made our tradition, and by the way, John Wesley ordained females. The earliest movement in the United States of Methodism, there were many female preachers and pastors. And so this is our tradition. As Methodists, we say Paul was speaking to his context. There's a lot of truths in here. And we can find some principles from it. Such as, I think this is a good one. I don't think it's good for men or women. For women who claim, men or women, I would say, to be devoted to God, they should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Not just because I spend all time at the gym and I can get what's over there, but because God has filled my heart in such a beautiful way. That's a great principle. I want to teach my kids that principle. I think my wife is always stunning. But in the end, it's her heart that makes her beautiful to me. That's what should make people attractive. That's a great principle. Lift up your hands in holy prayer and praise. That was the first part. I want men to pray. I would say women as well. With holy hands lifted up to God. We're getting Pentecostal if you start waving hands. Definitely don't do that at the 11. But here's the part I really love. Free from anger and controversy. Man, that's a good principle. But here, I need you to know before we close this out that the equation isn't over. The Scripture equation isn't over yet. We've said we let Scripture interpret Scripture, context inform content. But now we need to do something with it. If you're going to understand and live and follow the way all the way, you now need to take that content of the way into the context of your way. If you want to understand Scripture, it's something that is lived. It's something that is shared. the equation of understanding is always incomplete until you start to live it, until you start answering your call. How many of you guys like the TV show Big Bang Theory? I love that show. One of my favorites. I watch it every night. We got like 14 episodes, always DVR'd, and that's what I do every night. So I love the character Sheldon. You all, if you're familiar with the show, Sheldon is just like the king of nerds. I mean, the ultimate king of nerds. And somehow, some way, he was having a conversation with Leonard about how he knows how to swim. And really what Sheldon knew, he studied on the internet how to swim. And he got on the floor and he practiced all of the movements. And because of that, he was confident that he knew how to swim. And a lot of us are just as guilty of saying we understand God's word, but we've never dived deep into the water. That's how you finish the equation. That's how Scripture clarifies the way, all the way, for you and me. I've got to take it. I've got to go share it. I need to pay attention to my context, though. Again, if you're Baptist or you're Catholic. But you have to decide, let's say you're working in a company. That's your context. You've got to learn how to share the content of the way in that context. But what if your company calls you to do something unethical against the way? And you look through Scripture, you go, that's my way. This is Jesus' way. I know it's wrong. I can't do that. Now my context is asking me to do something against the content of Scripture. What do you do? Well, you've got to impact change on your context or realize it's time for you to change context. And that's challenging. And that's hard. And yet that's what we're called to be as followers of Jesus, who take the content of the way into the context of our way. And so I want to ask you, what are you called to? What's your context? And how has God gifted you, equipped you? Maybe even put a little bit of a word in your ear and in your heart to do. How are you called to take the content of the way into the context of your way? Females, you're welcome to ascend to the highest leadership if you're gifted and if you're willing to follow the way all the way. By the way, that's the same standard placed on me. But there's something else you might be called to do. Or sharing with your children, or your neighbors, or something else. What are you called to do, and how will you answer the call? How can she be a pastor? Here it's because we believe she was called. Are you willing to follow the way, all of the way? These little green cards aren't in your bulletins. They're now out there. Hold me to the highest standard and love me enough to help me get there. One of the parts of the highest standard is answering your call. Answering your call. Carrying the content into your context. We've asked, still trying to figure out what this means. This is just a commitment we're making to one another. Maybe part of your call is we've asked that you would attend one church service and serve at another. How would you serve if you could? I've got two groups of guys right now, and I'm open for women. We would do this one separately, by the way, because we get into some nitty-gritty, but I got two groups of guys right now meeting at 6 a.m. for breakfast to study Scripture and to learn about the way and to help each other follow the way all the way. Is that something you're into? Doesn't have to be 6 a.m. I only have a few more nights that way. And gosh, that's early. I don't really feel called to do that very often. What are you called to do? What's your next step with Jesus? Take it and do not be afraid. Because we're here, apprentices of Jesus together, to help you. As we close this last song, I invite you, if you'd like, to come and pray over these quotes. Each one of these will go to somebody who's struggling in some way with something. And this is a reminder that they are loved. And every time they put it on them, they can know that they have been prayed for even before anybody knew their name. And that they can know that God loves them. That's why we do this ministry. If you'd like to, I invite you to come up and pray.